Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are here to do something wonderful with your life? Do you feel that call deep inside you to bring your sacred healing gifts and transformational knowledge to the world around you? Do you want to feel inspired as you build your business doing your beautiful work? Do you want to learn how to build a successful spiritual business? Well then, you're invited to listen in to the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show, where we explore how fun and easy it can be to build a strong, abundant business while at the same time staying deeply connected to the divine using your intuition, your own sixth sense. Join the irreverent Reverend Ann Presswell as she and her guests explore the many ways you can build a deeply connected, authentic, powerful spiritual business making money without feeling like you've sold your soul. You are here to get your gifts out to the world in a powerful, abundant way, and your people are waiting for you. Let's help them find you. Now, here's your host, Reverend Ann Presswell.
Hello, 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 everyone. I'm so honored that you're here with us. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us live, for joining us in the chat room, for joining us on the web. We are so grateful. We have a fabulous call today. We have fabulous calls every week, but, you know, this one is, I got very teary as the intro was playing because I was just thinking about how profound the divine is, how just amazingly connected we all are. I'm going to share that with you in just a moment. And first, I want us all to take a nice deep breath in and just release it, get very present within our bodies, very present to this moment, this sacred moment right here, right now, as we say thank you to the divine, thank you to ourselves, thank you for showing up. For showing up here in this moment, for showing up in your life, for showing up for your people, for showing up for your loved ones, for showing up. Thank you. Your work is so powerful and it's so profound, and the world is looking for you. So we're going to talk today about transformation, how all of our lives are so profoundly transformed by things that happen, these gifts that occur in our lives that don't feel like gifts in the moment, but certainly turn out to be gifts. So we say thank you, thank you, thank you. We are here, we are grateful, we are shining our lights in the world. And so it is. So today I want to welcome Dr. Christy Johnson, who is, we have this really incredible story. Okay, so guys, you just, This is what I mean by how deeply connected we are with the divine. Christy reached out to me about a year ago on Facebook and said, hey, would you like to be friends? You know, I get a lot of friendship requests. Most I cannot accept because I'm at my limit, right? I'm at the 5,000 limit, right? So I think I had like 20 people left. I'm like, oh, let me go check her out, you know. And she's an intuitive healer, Akashic Records. I'm like, oh, this chick's cool, you know. So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, she's from West Lafayette, Indiana. I'm like, how cool is that? All right, fine. I'm going to accept her friendship. And so I accepted it, and I sent her an email and said, hey, Christy, how cool to meet you. Anybody from West Lafayette is a friend of mine because I used to spend summers there. My grandparents lived in West Lafayette, Indiana, and I would spend summers there. And so Christy and I started chatting. She wrote me back and said, oh, well, where did you know West Lafayette? And I'm like, yeah, my grandparents, they used to spend summers there. And so she's like, really? Where did they live? I'm like, oh, on Happy Hollow Road. She goes, really? That's where I used to live. And then she said, is it possible you used to spend summers and did we play together when you were little? I was like, seriously? So we get on the phone and we start comparing notes, and believe it or not, she was one of my childhood friends that I played with. I mean, we had fun, and I wrote about it in my e-zine this morning about the weeping willow tree. Christy, I'm going to introduce you in just a second, but do you remember the weeping willow tree? Just say yes, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And we used to play under. My grandmother used to plant weeping willows, and she just loved them. And I developed this huge love of trees from that. So Christy, here's the interesting thing. Christy is, of course, not only from this beautiful area of West Lafayette, Indiana. She went to Purdue. She got her doctorate, her undergrad there, and then she went to Michigan and got her advanced degrees, her doctorate there. She's chemical engineer. I mean, right? Like, this is incredible. So she had an intuitive healing after she asked the universe for change in 2007. Following another intuitive suggestion, she trained in a Japanese form of acupressure and then ultimately left behind her career, this decades-long career in chemical engineering. She read The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Akashic Records. Now, if any of you think for one second that your gifts, your writings, your things do not transform other people's lives, seriously, you just have to really hear this. She read this book, and it led her to becoming an Akashic Records consultant, an advanced certified teacher. And it's like me reading Doreen Virtue's book on the Lightworker's Way. Boom. I was so transformed, I became a lightworker. Like, I was like totally, totally developed my intuition. So in 2012, she had this inexplicable weight loss, which led to celiac disease diagnosis and this incredible, arduous recovery. You know, this is, I hear this so often, that our own darkness, our dark nights of the soul, the things that happen, I call them the divine initiations, they are what lead us into the work that we do, and Christy's no exception. She's going to share all of that with us now. I am so excited. Welcome, Dr. Christy Johnson. Hello, 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 my dear.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here. This is fabulous.
We're going to have so much fun. Oh, yeah. Akashic Records, girl, come on. Tell me all about it.
that's a small question. You know, it's a vast resource. We're all in it. Every lifetime we've ever incarnated, which means every one of us, every time, is in this fabulous record. And then it also shows what's going on now and gives you some sense of what's going to go on in the future. And it's not something I ever would have believed in or even conceptualized before I read The Idiot's Guide and had a reading myself. When I had my first reading with Linda Howe, who's my teacher, I was just shocked by how much stuff came through and how many things were brought to light that I'd never seen. And I'd been doing a lot of exploring by then. So it's a fabulous resource, which in a way is pretty ordinary, because when you go in there, it looks like life. It just, to me, looks like regular life, only it's a different time and place, and it's really quite amazing.
Wow. All right, so you have to just, like, you know, we'll come back to this, but before we even can go there, I have to hear this. And I know everybody else is like, seriously, you've got a PhD, you left that world, and you became an intuitive healer. I mean, you're a chemical engineer, for goodness sakes, right? Trained, and now you're an intuitive healer. Like, that is such a huge transformation from one end to the other. Now, I'm married to an engineer as well, PhD, trained, all of that. Like, you know, he's a professor. So, like, I understand. And the amount of work that goes into that level of training is astonishing. To walk away from it is so profound. So I would really love to hear your journey. Like, what had you go, I'm walking away?
Well, it took me a long time to give myself permission because, you know, I had invested all that time in the schooling and all that time at work. And, you know, I was 7 years short of retirement when I finally did quit IBM. And when I went to my manager and said I was quitting, she said, no one ever does this. They either retire or they get laid off. She's like, I don't even know how to do the paperwork. I'm like, well, figure it out because I'm out of here. I was just so unhappy there. Mm. It just wasn't a good match for me. I mean, yes, I had the education, and yes, I had the nice salary and all of that, but if you're miserable every day and you're dragging yourself to work and you're watching the clock and saying, is it over yet? Every single day, it's really quite painful.
Yeah.
So when I was complaining yet again to our financial advisor about how unhappy I was. She's the one that got all this going. She said to me, why don't you ask the universe for a change by the end of March? This is March 2007. And You know, I didn't really know what that meant. I wasn't an asker of the universe kind of gal. So I just kind of thought, oh, I'll go to my manager. Maybe I'll go part-time. Maybe I'll switch to another department or something. And my manager was on a cruise for 2 weeks. So I was like, oh, I can't ask her by the end of March. And I went back to the financial advisor. She says, no, I said ask the universe, not your manager. Oh, okay. So I did this. And I'm thinking I'm being silly and, you know, nothing's going to happen. And then it was like March 25th, March 27th or something like that. And I was giving my husband, who has horribly knotted muscles in his back from cycling, hunched over his handlebars, giving him a back rub. And I had this sense I could do something with my hands. Mm. I'm holding my hands, and I picked them up off of his back, let this energy thing happen. And both of us were shocked because all of his muscles relaxed. And he said, what just happened? And I said, I don't know. It was quite astounding and bizarre. And then not too long after that, he hyperextended his knee. And I had the sense that I could help him. He's hobbling around. He's like, my cycling season's over. I can't get on my bike. And I'm like, sit on the couch. And I think I can do something. So I put my hands around his knee, and I feel this white light come through my crown chakra and go down through my hands into his knee. And this thing is happening. And he gets up, and he walks away, and he's cycling again the next day. And I don't know what this is. And to be clear, at this point, I didn't believe in anything divine. Like, I had given up on the God thing, and I certainly wasn't doing angels or any of that. So it was just, oh, my life just turned over. I mean, it just became completely transformed in that moment. So then it was like, how can I stay at IBM? But I still was at IBM another 3 years before I could give myself permission to let myself leave.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here. My mouth is, like, open, and I'm in awe at how we orchestrate the very thing that we need to step into our next journey, our next, you know, part of the journey. Was your husband, like, okay about you walking away? He, you know, like, can't you just kind of suck it up 7 more years? Mm-hmm. Or was he like, honey, I absolutely love you. I think this is incredible. Yes, do it. Or somewhere in between.
Well, a little bit of the backstory is, you know, when you have this stuff happening, you know, he was experiencing the healing. So he was sort of on board right away because he knew something was going on. It was pretty obvious something was real here, even though he, too, being an engineer, would never have gone there.
Right,
and then
right.
when I started doing Din Shinjutsu, he'd come back from a long ride, and he'd get on the table, and he'd get off and be like, that stuff really works. I'm like, I know. So he was already pretty much signed up for the fact that it worked. He was somewhat nervous that, you know, oh, what are we going to do financially, so on and so forth. But when we started talking about it, it's like, you know, it's not that bad. We don't have kids to send to college. We're in pretty good shape, and I can do this, you know. And so he was really very supportive because he's like, you're so miserable. I don't want to see you miserable like this. And it was so funny. When I left, he's like, when can I quit? Which hasn't happened yet. But, you know, it could. He's not, you know, he's not sure that's the place for him either. So
right. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so let's talk about this other little piece, which is so incredible about the divine bringing us back together after all this time. I mean, seriously, right?
Well, and that's the thing. When that happened, I was so stunned by that because I've never had anything. I mean, we always have synchronicities and we have odd things happen and so on, but the timing had to be perfect. I mean, there were so many things about it that had to be perfect. I had no social media presence before I opened my business. I would not have been interested in connecting with an intuitive healer when I was still deep in chemical engineering because to me it didn't make any sense. I was in a car accident in 1994. And I went to a party, a Thanksgiving party shortly thereafter, and this person offered to do some Reiki on my neck. She'd never, you know, she's just learning and she wanted to practice. And so she does this Reiki on me and she's like, the right side of your body is getting all hot. That's how I know it's working. And the skeptic in me goes, it's because I'm sitting next to the fireplace on the right hand side. I thought it was ridiculous. So if you and I had crossed paths at a different point, first of all, it may not have come up that you discover that, you know, oh, it's Happy Hollow Road in West Lafayette, Indiana.
Right.
Which was so bizarre.
Right.
But, yeah, if it had been a different time, we might have been like, oh, yeah, I remember you. That's nice. Hi.
Hi, bye.
But we're both doing intuitive healing-related stuff, and this has been like 40-some years. It's mind-blowing to me.
Mind-blowing. It really is. It was 3 summers maybe? 2 summers? I don't know. It wasn't very long. But it was,
I don't know. I mean, I remember loving when you came, and I remember really looking forward to it and being really excited, but I don't remember communicating in between or anything, and I don't remember the last time. I don't have a sense that we knew it was the last time. It's one of those transitions that just sort of happens, I think.
Exactly.
And I didn't even remember your name. It wasn't like I was like, oh, Anne, is it you? It was like, oh, you, is it you? Because I didn't remember your name.
Oh,
but the willow trees and the house and all that, it's like, this is no coincidence. This is synchronicity. Something's happening here.
Yeah, it was just so bizarre and so beautiful. Like, both of us were walking around, just smiling and thinking this is so incredible. Because, anyway, we could just go on down that road for a long time, but I really want to hear, like, your journey. This whole thing with the celiac disease diagnosis, the recovery, your own openness, each step has sort of required you to open up more and more and more and more each time, hasn't it? And
really?
And we're not done yet. No.
We're just starting.
Getting started, right?
Absolutely. That's how it is. I mean, you're given what you can work with. You know, there are things that I couldn't have worked with, and I'm being called now to do much, much deeper work than I've ever done. You know, many healers do come to healing because they're trying to heal something, and mine wasn't like that initially. Mine was this seemingly random event, but now it is so much about I must heal in order to heal others more effectively and to be part of the healing of this planet more effectively.
Hmm.
It's just not an option anymore. It's a very deep calling, you know.
Talk more about that. When you say I must heal, what are you referring to within your own experience?
Well, the not so pretty part of the story that I don't talk about that much, but I occasionally talk about in my blog. Basically, when I was still at IBM, I started binge eating, and I went to all kinds of specialists, and I could not figure out what is wrong with me. I don't seem to be having emotional difficulties. Therapists weren't helping. I went to you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Got some of the strangest recommendations that were not helpful, and eventually learned that the celiac was why I had lost so much weight, why I had dropped to a dangerously low weight, and at the same time didn't recognize it. That's the other piece of this that's sort of shocking, because I got on our scale at home, and I said, oh, that's got to be wrong. That's too low. That's silly. And then I went to the doctor for some other random thing and said, uh-oh, that number is exactly the number at home. That must be real. And the stories you tell yourself, you know, they must be vanity sizing. You know, these aren't really that size pants. They really must be larger. That can't be. That's not my size. Or must be this bra is stretching out. Whatever, there was all these reasons I had for this not being something I could actually digest, if you will. And then when I found out that it was actually a disease that, you know, I was starving to death, and that's why I was eating so much, I'm like, oh, okay, well, then that problem's going to be solved. But it didn't get solved. I mean, I gained the weight back, and it still lingered as an issue. So it became, well, what is this about? What am I being called to do here? What am I being asked to look at and not brush under the rug? And, you know, I couldn't go to work at IBM and fill my day with, you know, the stuff that I did there. I'm here in my world. If I don't have clients, I have this to look at, you know. And so that's been a lot of my journey, is healing this inner pain that was not at a conscious level around perfectionism and all sorts of ways of being hard on myself. So this has really been a big part of my own personal healing. And it also has really translated into a lot of healing for others, because as I learn the things that I learn and I explore the things I explore, they can't help but benefit from that journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's no question that our own journeys and our own deep healing that we have to do, we're called to do as these intuitive healers that we, you know, that we are, that we've, you know, we've staked our claim in now, and we, you know, it just, you're right, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper For some, it was always about the emotional. I mean, always. It's always about healing those beliefs about ourselves, our ability to, you know, do whatever, to be seen, to be heard, you know, our worth. I mean, nothing like being a spiritual entrepreneur to get challenged in every little aspect that you can think of. It comes with the territory. And that deep inner work has to be done in order to have the level of success that you want to have, whether it's, you know, financial, whether it's, you know, just happiness. I mean, what, it doesn't matter. I agree. I mean, I think it's just so profound.
Well, and I could have continued to have an unexamined life to some extent at IBM. I could have continued to do that, but it was clear that on the other hand, I couldn't. It was like, this is imperative. I have to do this. And part of what's interesting for me is that even though I couldn't figure out the whole binge eating thing, I said, you know, I must be more miserable at IBM than I realize. If that's come up, you know, I've got to get out of here. And if I hadn't had that, maybe I'd still be there. So thank goodness for the things that come up that are even, you know, unwanted and unwelcome can still be the things that save you and bring you much closer to your soul's purpose.
Oh, absolutely. 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 I'm fascinated by all of this. You know, it's funny because we've had now two Akashic Records healers on the radio show 2 weeks in a row, which is pretty fascinating. I have to take a look at that for myself because I'm very interested in the Akashic Records. I'm curious, Elizabeth, what are your thoughts on this? We've got I love that Elizabeth, producer of this show, is an intuitive and a healer and amazing. Any thoughts, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I was actually talking to Dr. Christie about this a little bit because it's something that I honestly am a bit uninformed about. The only direct experience I've had of someone working with this was basically it took the form of a guided meditation into the Garden of Akasha and then a channeling, okay? Which I don't really feel was encompassed what the Akashic Records actually stand for. And my question to Dr. Christie was, well, obviously, I do understand, I can accept that the past is written and that the information is stored somewhere and that, you know, people have levels of being able to access that. I don't think anyone has full access to anything. Okay, I don't know, I can be corrected on that if necessary. But I think also the future is not written, you know. I think the universe is a self-organizing entity and that kind of anything's possible.
So are you meaning that for the future it's not written or for the past it's not written?
For the future, I don't think it's written. I think there can be guidelines. I think there can be plans. But written in stone, no way. For me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Christy, I'm curious about that because I don't know much about the Akashic Records. Excuse me.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about the Akashic Records is that, yes, we have all the information from the past, but, you know, as you say, nobody knows everything, and anybody who thinks they do probably has something else to learn. So we go in the Akashic Records, and we see all this information about the past, and it is predictive about what's going to go on in the future, and it certainly gives you information about what's going on presently. You know, it certainly informs our decisions and our strangenesses, you know, the strange things we have like phobias, where the heck did that come from, or particular people, like the minute you meet them, you either feel antagonistic toward them or you love them. You know, there's these strange things we have. As far as the future goes, really, it's about potential. It's about, you know, if you go in the Akashic Records and you learn about what's going on for someone, well, what is your soul trying to figure out in this lifetime? That sort of gives you an idea of what the future is likely to hold, not the exact details, but the kind of things, the themes, the sort of things this soul is likely to experience. And then figuring out the details is going to be your free will and how you choose as you go forward. But it's definitely all about how can I learn what I'm here to learn.
So how long does a reading take?
I do half an hour and 45-minute readings. Mm-hmm. Some people do an hour-long reading.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I feel like because they're so rich and so much comes through, people get overwhelmed with too much.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have someone do a couple readings than try to learn everything about themselves in one big gulp.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on the practitioner.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. So when people come, and just sorry for my ignorance on this because I don't really understand it. So when people come, do they say, all right, I want to learn about how, or do they just, do they come about a specific issue or do they just say, all right, give it to you, lay it on me.
Yeah, this is the thing that's interesting for me about how I do the Akashic Records. And everyone's different. You know, everyone has different gifts. What works best for me is for someone to come in with what they consider to be a challenge or else something that's energetically charged, either positively or negatively. That in the records really glows for me. If someone comes in and says, tell me about myself, those are some of the flattest readings. I mean, I can go in there, but it's kind of like reading a dictionary.
Right.
You know, it's fascinating, but only to a point. Now, if you tell me what word to look up, you know, what sort of themes you're looking for, and then it's not dry anymore. It becomes, oh, that's why I'm with that person, or that's why I'm having that problem at work, or even the phobia thing. No wonder I have that thing when I go in swimming pools. You know, it's whatever is the thing that just stays in your mind as what's going on with this?
Yeah.
What is this? Either positive or negative. I mean, there's certainly people, it's like, did I know this man before? When I met him, I had this instant charge, and it's not just attraction. There's something there. And you go in and say, oh, turns out you guys are doing a lot of this stuff together, you know, so it becomes very fascinating, the things that we have sort of decided with, you know, we make these deals with people, there's 20 to 30 people in your soul group that we reincarnate with over and over again, and you have a lot of agreements with these people, these are the things I'm looking to do as a soul, can you help me with this, and then reverse, you know, the other person, can you help me with that, and you make all these arrangements, and it's quite fascinating how this all works.
That's really interesting. So when you go in, you said it kind of lights up. So is it like you see, sorry, I want to have sort of a picture of what it looks like from your end. So when you go in, is it like this long wall of...
No. I don't have any of the stereotypical... That's what's so interesting for me is why it seems so normal and average. When I say light up, I mean it energizes. I just have this sense of, oh, over here, look over here, there's something going on over here.
Okay.
The things all come to me sort of like things come on the computer. So it might be an image, it might be like a video, it might be a phrase. There are all the different ways you can think of to receive information, I receive it.
Right.
Well, I can't say I've ever smelled anything, but... You know, pretty much any way you could receive something from a computer is the same way I do. And if I ask for more information, I might get something else. I might get, oh, now I'm seeing not just part of this, but I'm seeing the whole scene of, hey, this person's walking here, and then I'll say, well, and then what happens? I'll ask the question in my head, you know, then what happens? And they'll show me the progression. You know, now the person's in jail, and this is happening. And then, so it's, you know, it can be like a whole story that unfolds. But sometimes it'll just be a little bit of something that gets started on another area that needs to be explored.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, asking the right questions is hugely important in the records. That's the part that I find the most fascinating. You get really great information if you ask good questions, and you get not so great information if you don't.
Oh, it's like being married to my husband.
So you understand. You get
ground
it.
For me to learn how to ask the right questions.
Funny.
I know. He's a riot. How was your day, honey? It was good. It's good. How was yours? Did you talk to anybody? Yeah? Yeah?
But not to you.
How's that thing with the student? Fine.
Yeah. Wow.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's like if I ask the right question, then it'll get it stimulated, and then he'll start talking.
Well, anyway, you know, you bringing up your husband is another interesting piece. You had asked me before about my husband, how he was with my work.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually believe in past lives. I mean, he doesn't believe in any of the Akashic Record stuff. I've never done a reading for him.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be interested in it. But he sees the effect, and he sees what happens with the people that do come to see me.
Mm-hmm.
So while he's not personally interested, he's really quite supportive of what I'm doing, even though he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And isn't interested.
Mine is the same way. It's really interesting. Same thing. Very, very supportive. And he thinks some of it's just like, okay, well, that's fine. You know, whatever you're doing, that's fine.
If I put myself in his shoes, I would have done the same thing. I mean,
yeah.
I can hardly act like he should be in a different place. He's not
exactly.
on my journey. He's on his, and there must be a reason why we're together. Again, this is a part about the Akashic Records that I love. We understand from the Akashic Records that nothing is ever a mistake. You're never not where you're supposed to be. You're always exactly where you're supposed to be. It doesn't matter whether it's frustrating or whatever. It is where you need to be. So I need to be with him, and he needs to be with me for soul reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That may change later, but for now, this is what's right. And so it's you can just sort of relax into the rightness of things when you look at it from that perspective.
Peace right there, relaxing into the rightness of things, because there's so many people who think that there's something wrong here, right? So when they're going through life, or as they're built, in my opinion, in my business, as they're building their business, they're constantly thinking something's wrong, something's wrong, something's wrong. And a lot of what I do is to normalize their journey, normalize where they're at. Like, you're in the first year, what you're doing, what you're feeling, all of that's normal. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be flailing around a little bit. You're supposed to be trying to find your way. You're supposed to be, you know, uncomfortable with certain things that you're doing because they're not what you're used to doing. So a lot of what I do is normalize it. So it's, in some ways, it sounds like a lot of that's the same. You are helping them see whatever's going on is okay. It's where it's supposed to be. So just relaxing into it is very powerful. That alone can relieve so much stress.
Oh, absolutely. The only thing that's wrong is thinking that there's something wrong.
Right. Exactly.
The minute we release that, it becomes, oh, everything is okay, and I just move forward from here, and I just develop an appreciation of where I am so that I can move forward toward what I want. It's a constant renewal as long as you're here and now and present instead of fighting, oh, this isn't supposed to be happening. Well, yeah, it is, because if it wasn't supposed to be happening, it wouldn't happen. The universe is impeccable. It is not making mistakes. It has got it all figured out. Now it's you learning how to live in this experience.
Do you think that your training as a chemical engineer helped with that understanding of the universe being impeccable is what I mean?
I would not say that, no. Because, you know, when I was training as a chemical engineer, there was a whole lot of black and white, right or wrong. And so that, I think, led me towards there are things that are wrong in the world and they should be corrected and fixed, and there's a lot of problems. And I had very much of a fix-it mentality and a discomfort with how things were. And so to switch to this mindset of, wait a minute, even though it doesn't necessarily feel that great or it isn't what we want, it is still right, is a very different mindset.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now that could be not so much chemical engineering as my upbringing, but I definitely felt the discomfort of, things aren't right. Things were never right. It was always like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? There's that real impatience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that means you're just not happy. You're not comfortable with what's happening now. You want to get on to the thing where it's better. Let me
right.
move forward to where things aren't broken or wrong. Let me get to where it feels better. Like, well, feeling better happens inside you now. It doesn't happen with some external thing that you get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any sense of that when I was an engineer and at IBM and all that.
Got it. Hang on one second. I see a note from Elizabeth. Yes, Elizabeth, you asked me to let me know. You wanted to say something.
Hi.
Go.
Yeah, I didn't want to butt in because it was just so beautiful and flowing so nicely. I just wanted to say that if anybody wants to call in with a question for Dr. Christie or Reverend Anne, the lines are open now, and the number is 646. 668-2211, or you can call in by Skype by clicking the cute little Skype logo above our beautiful poster. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I appreciate that. Okay. All right. So I would like actually to go back to this thought about you know, asking and receiving help. What you had said was, like, for you, this beginning stages of learning to ask the universe, you know, for help. And it's been my experience over and over again that we have to ask. We have to ask in order to sort of open up the channels for receiving that information. Like, for example, and this is just a little tiny example, if I'm writing an article and I find myself frustrated, instead of going off and doing something else, I will ask for the guidance to write the right words, to get the right points across, to help me get this message across. I will ask to get that support, because otherwise I'll flail, and I'll flail a lot, you know, like I'm just, So all the way through, it's about learning to ask. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Because and over again.
We don't ask, as you say, there's a chance that nothing's going to come. And when we do ask, then we can just have this wonderful surprise when we get something completely unexpected. I mean, I think part of the asking is learning to relax into the idea that what's going to come, again, is appropriate and right. Because, I mean, there was certainly a time when I would have been trying to specify exactly what I want. And it could be far less than what the universe is willing to give me if I didn't just ask for that tiny thing. And that's what's so funny about me asking the universe for a change. I had no clue what to ask, so I just put out this general thing. I would never have specified healing. That was not on my list. Maybe I'll be a mediator, or maybe I'll do technical writing.
Right.
So I joke that, oh,
maybe become an Akashic Records handler.
Never heard of. You know, if I had been more specific, who knows what I would have gotten. And so in my ignorance, I got this wonderful thing which is perfectly aligned to me.
Yes.
And I would never, ever have come across it. It just was not, you know, I did a lot of caretaking of my mother growing up emotionally, and I just was not a person who thought that doing any work with people, assisting them would be my work.
Right.
And yet it is so easy, because now instead of being a caretaker in the unpleasant sense, I now take care. Which is a very different place to come from.
Very
different. It doesn't have that sticky to it. So I'm so grateful that I was ignorant and didn't know any better and just asked for help.
So let's talk about this following the inner guidance process, because I know that it took me years to really tune in, develop, and trust. And make the distinctions between my own ego, my beliefs, and truth, right? The divine downloads and my own wants, my own, you know what I mean, my own ego.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
What was your process in developing this, you know, this intuitive ability that you have now?
Well, the initial development was just this download of, you can go do this. And I didn't have any idea what I was doing. After I did those two healings with my husband, it started happening without my permission. So I'd be in the shower, in the car, and I'd start healing. I'd think of someone, and I'd start sending them healing energy.
Mm-hmm,
it was totally
mm-hmm.
freaking me out.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while to be able to say, no, wait, I want to go sit down. First of all, I learned I can ask permission, because before there was no filter. I'd get their permission, I'd go sit down in a specific place, and I would write down the healing things that were coming through as it was happening, and I would email that to the people. So the initial thing was just this download. But so, and in fact, in most of my healing work, it has never been me developing it. It's been more like I open the door and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of my own personal life, it's been a lot of that development piece of, well, wait a minute, you know, what's real and what's true with a capital T? What is really something that is reflective of what's really in my highest good and not in my ego's pretend highest good. And the thing that I've learned over time is that, well, you know, some of us wonder, am I making this up or is this coming from somewhere divine?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I argue that if it's coming from us, it's still coming from somewhere divine. It's then a matter of finding out whether it's your ego or whether it's your highest self. And for me, the highest self stuff always feels really good. Mm-hmm. And the ego stuff doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
The ego stuff might feel good temporarily, and then the fear comes back. You know, then the bottom drops out, and you realize, oh, wait, I followed a false lead, and that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've become much more, I've been doing tons of work with thoughts and the thinking mind, the egoic mind. That's a lot of what I've been focusing on in my own personal journey. And so I've learned more and more when it's tricking me, and I'm very cognizant now of something smells funny here. This isn't feeling that great. There's something off. I may not know what it is yet, but no, I'm not going to do that until I feel ready. That's the other thing, is relaxing. And when things get calm, then you can hear your own higher self so much better.
Oh, my word, though. Yes.
It comes. You have to sometimes wait a while, but it comes. And it's the getting ahead of yourself, getting nervous. Oh, my God, I got to figure this out. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
That's when it breaks down, because you'll follow anything then.
Yeah, for real. Okay, so then how do you do that? How do you specifically? I mean, I know how I, you know, for me it's like swimming and, you know, just really having time away from, like, the urgencies of everything and everybody. But if I don't have that time, I end up getting a little frazzled myself. So then I know that I'm in need of serious self-care, which to me is go swimming. Just go swim, because that will always, because the breathing and the rhythmic, you know, I swim laps, and so, you know, and half an hour of laps is, you know, deep breathing the whole way through. And that alone transforms everything, not to mention the rhythm and the movement and the being in the pool and, you know, et cetera. But you know, not everybody has that, and other people have, you know, everybody's unique. Someone else may hate the pool, you know, can't stand the chlorine, don't want to be outside, you know, or inside or whatever. So how do you bring yourself back into that space of listening and calmness?
Well, just as an aside, I love swimming, and I was on swim team in high school, and I would start laughing underwater. It was so much fun. But then I developed a chlorine allergy. So anyway, I can totally relate. The laps were great. I wish I could go back there. Anyway, for me it is, there's a number of things. You know, time in nature is certainly very helpful. Going into my own Akashic records can be very helpful. Meditation, anything that calms the mind, anything that brings me more into my body and calmer in, you know, in terms of being in a human form versus being in my head. You know, I can tell when I'm sort of floating above my neck. I do different things for grounding as well. There's one particular Jinshin Jitsu hold that you put your right hand at the base of your sternum and you grab both of your big toes with your left. So if I'm having a particularly intense moment, I might do that. Mm-hmm. I actually use that to ground myself after my clients go sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know, I don't have a one-size-fits-all. It's sort of listening, again, another listening of what and I actually use joy as my way through to say, what would bring more joy right now? Because I know when I've gotten into the ego that I'm not joyful and I'm in some sort of pain. And so it becomes, how do I get back to that joy, which is who I am, which will inform me appropriately instead of mislead me?
That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, there are a lot of wonderful energy techniques and a lot of grounding techniques to do. And each person, you know, I always recommend that people just make a list of the things that work for them and keep it handy, especially if they're new to this, because you forget. And the sort of in the head space is more normal than being in the body and being present. So to learn how to move from being in the head into the body is more, because that's really the area that you access your intuitive abilities, being in the body, being present, being here in this moment right here, right now. You can't do it if you're up in your head all the time.
Exactly.
Can't. So how, you know, make a list, do the things, you know, find things that ground you, that work for you. Someone else may be doing journaling, writing all the time, and they'll start by doing, they'll end up doing automatic writing, which is perfect for acclimating, you know, accessing their intuition. It's perfect.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's talk about money for a minute, because this is the Divine Business Radio Show, right?
Yep.
So let's talk about how to live from joy, connect to your financial sweet spot, be of service, and make money, because people want to know that. How can I do this? How can I bring my gifts into the world and make money?
Well, this is the interesting thing for me as I look at this, because, you know, I worked for many years and made a huge salary doing something I was miserable at. So clearly not a sweet spot. Financially, yes, but not sweet at all.
Yeah.
So I think it's a matter of really looking, and this has to come from a calm looking and not a in my head, oh, my God, I'm looking at my bottom line and it's not where I want it to be looking, where you say, what do I have as my gifts and abilities? And what is society willing to pay for in a way that I can live a decent living, have a decent living? And those two things overlap. It's not that everything you do that you love, someone will pay you for, but you probably have some gift or skill that you can do well at. And it becomes a matter then of cultivating that and getting as calm as possible, looking at it as objectively as possible. Because what happens is we get into our thoughts, and our thoughts quickly tell us we're failing, quickly, you know, well, you didn't make a success in a month. I, you know, create it and they will come, and they didn't come. Well, that doesn't mean anything. That just means either you haven't found the people, you haven't been persistent enough. There's like a whole bunch of other things that can happen. So we tend to get way ahead of ourselves. So if we pull back down to, well, what do I love and what am I really good at and who will pay for, you know, are there people that will pay for this? And then start being more strategic and not just being haphazard of, it didn't happen. And then, and taking that as a feedback, that's something that I find clients often come to me and they say, you know, I tried this, I tried that, it didn't work, and then therefore I must be no good. It's like, no, no, no. It just means you have not found the people that appreciate what it is you're doing.
Yeah.
Who will actually then pay you to do that. It just means you haven't gotten plugged in right.
Yeah.
So that's finding that, you know, finding those people and finding how you can connect with them.
Okay. And, you know, and I actually feel pretty strongly about this as well, that it's also learning to speak about what you do to those
Absolutely.
People.
Right. They don't know you're there.
Yeah. So many healers talk about what they do in terms of the process they take. And I, believe me, I was guilty of this before I got the training and learned how to speak about it differently. But I would speak about, you know, the meridians and the tapping and how it transforms and how moving the energy and all of that. I would just talk about the process rather than talking about
results.
What people actually wanted, which was the transformation.
Yeah.
They wanted to feel better. They wanted to, you know, not feel the way they felt coming to me initially, you know, because I had specialized in trauma release because I'd been there. I knew it. I knew it intimately. And I could hold the space for someone to walk out of trauma and heal from that. And it was not at all a problem. All of mine was just like so intuitive. I learned about inner child work just by doing it, by working with people. And I learned about the movement of energy by working with people. And it was fascinating. So I would like always talk about that. And I learned people didn't care about the process. They were maybe curious, but they wanted the result. And so I learned I had to speak about it differently, and it took me a while, no question about it. Building a business, in my opinion, takes skill as well as having this incredible gift. With so many healers are so gifted, and yet they are broke because they don't know how to build a business. They spent all this time and energy building their skills, but they haven't spent that same amount of time or energy building the business. They just go, I just want to work with people. I don't want to learn how to find the people to work with. You can't have one without the other. You know, you have to have both. You need to have the business skills as well. And it's not that bad, because once you move past the fear of being visible, the fear of other people's expectations and, you know, all of that stuff, the business begins to grow because you change and transform. Not you specifically, you know, but like the healer will change and transform, and mm-hmm. then suddenly they begin to attract the people because they stand in a very different place energetically than they did before.
Yeah, anyway. And you've said so many things that resonate. You know, when I think about how, you know, I would go to this Women's Business Owners Network and everyone has to get up and give their elevator pitch. you know, most of us healers are so excited about the process of the healing work that that's what people want to talk about.
But
if people in the audience aren't all healers and they want to know, why am I coming to you? It's not because you know these fun, cool, exciting things. It's almost like being a healer nerd, you know, when you're so excited about your stuff. It's like, if you're in a group of people like that and you're having a potluck and you can all just chit-chat about, hey, and how about that access consciousness? Yeah, and how about that Reiki? That's, you know, go have your little healer nerd meeting, but if you're going to talk to the regular people, why are you connecting with them? You're connecting them because you want them to understand how they can experience transformation.
Funny.
So, yeah, I love that. That's so on the point.
You a healer nerd?
I think I might be. I just realized it.
I think those are.
Yep.
So good. That's so good. Okay, so what would you suggest to someone who is stuck in the middle of building their business and they want to make money. They want to just really shift it out of the park and start to make money.
Well, I recommend focusing, you know, sort of doing a little bit of analysis, and I know healery types don't always love this, but look at where things go easily for you and look at where things go hard for you. And decide if you want to keep working on the ones where the money doesn't really come. If you love it so much you're willing to be poor doing that piece or some percentage of your time doing that piece, that's one thing. If you really want to make money, focusing where the money comes in. If you look at my business, the Akashic Records has far outshone in terms of financial stuff. It's really gone far beyond the bodywork. And I do the bodywork remotely as well, so it's not just a matter of whether it's remote or not. And Akashic Records, for me, was just the thing that opened everything. So that to me, can you hear me?
Yes.
I just wanted to interrupt. If we could, we have a quick last-minute caller, Cheryl, with a question for you, if that's okay.
That's fine, if that's fine with you, Anne.
Okay. No, totally. Go for it, Cheryl.
Hi, Christy. I just want to thank you so much. I've had a session with you before, and it was so life-transforming. And my question now is, I seem to understanding that I attract people as mates who have depression, and I'm in a relationship now and wondering how to best help this person.
Ah, well, thank you, first of all. And what I would say, generally speaking, is that we can't help anyone very well. We can certainly love them and we can support them, but generally the only transformation we can do is inside ourselves. So I would really look inside your own self as to what you can do to support your own emotional well-being, because that'll help you be more fully present, which helps everyone around you, including him or her, because that's really the only way we can make change here on the planet is to do our own work and be of support to those that are around us.
Yes, and intuitively I know that, but here I am again in the same situation. I'm wondering.
And so what are you doing for yourself?
I'm really good. I do get massages. I go to the Diksha thing, Oneness Blessings. Yeah, I take care of myself.
And how responsible do you feel toward him? Because you mentioned trying to help him, so it sounds like you feel some level of responsibility towards his well-being.
I think it's kind of selfish in a way because I want to be around people who are happy.
And yet reality suggests you have some attraction to people that aren't. So there's something in there for you.
Yes.
So that's the piece that I would play around looking at is, you know, what is it that I find?
Maybe because I judge it and I need to accept it.
And that, of course, whenever you judge, it's judging something inside yourself. So always, as best you can, turn the lens back in on yourself and look and see, you know, how do I benefit from this? And how can I do something differently so that I don't need this kind of situation?
Uh-huh. May I ask you a question, Cheryl?
Sure.
Did you have someone in your life when you were growing up?
My mom.
Thank you. Okay, so sweetie, you're trying to heal that relationship through the people who are showing up in your life. So going back to heal that, to recognize the helplessness that you felt, the frustration, the anger, the shame, all of the feelings that you had, and healing those feelings, you're going to be free. because that's why you continue to draw people in into your life who are like that, because you're trying to heal that original, the original relationship.
I already felt it shift.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Have a
really
great
day. Awesome. Yeah.
Yep. It's
Thank
powerful.
You for that vulnerability and willingness to ask. That's really great.
Yeah, I'm grateful for the talk radio blog. I've never heard you before, but I'm gonna tune in and get on your website. So thanks.
Yay!
All right.
All right, Cheryl.
Thanks.
Thanks
bye.
So much, Christy. We're really running short on time. I want you to share your gift, what you've got for everybody. So do tell. And we're gonna, by the way, everybody, we're going to post it on this link. We're going to post it in the Facebook event page. We're going to post it on the Divinely Intuitive Business page. You'll be able to see it because it's hard to just like, she can tell you what it is, but, you know, don't worry about having to write it all down. Go for it, Christy.
So what I've created is something called a transformation mind map. And basically what I did was sort of went in and tried to figure out some of the connections, some of the things that I'm figuring out in my life as well as in my clients' experiences of how transformation occurs, and then linked off to various blog posts that I've written. It may not be exactly the bubble that's in the mind map, but at least it gives you some material you can sort of digest and explore when you're looking into anything you're trying to transform. So that will be a PDF that you can download, and then all the links will be included, and it'll take you off to the different posts as
okay.
you're interested.
Elizabeth, can you type? Oh, good. She already typed it in. Elizabeth, you rock. And there's also a password that you have to. The password is transform, so you want to put that on there as well. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Christy. All right, everyone. Nice deep breath in.
Okay.
What?
I never mind. Go ahead.
All right. Nice deep breath in, everyone. You all are here to bring your beautiful, powerful gifts to the world, to transform the world from who you are being, from what you are called to do, to share that with those around you, to share your gifts, your knowledge, your experience, your connection with the divine, with those around you. Take it with you. Go and be that. Share it and know yourself to be that divine expression with the world, for the world. Go get your divine on, everyone. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much.
This episode of the Divinely Intuitive Business Show has been sponsored by the Divine Business Club, the only place where divine intuitives like you can get proven business building advice on how to get your sacred gifts out into the world and make the impact and the money that you want to make for less than $1 a day. For more information, go to www.divinebusinessclub.com.